Blog Talk Radio.
To the people and the Gentiles, Tommy Hart, the one the authorized version ascribes the name Lord God is Real, appears among us with great news. A former preacher of the church and author of the Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. Lord God would like to share what he has discovered during what is now a 39-year study of the Authorized Version Bible, also known as the King James Bible, coming from the Vatican. He comes to show Bible truths that have been hidden throughout Bible content. Lord God is Real decrypts all things kept silent and in secret inside the pages of the ABB, aka the KJV, all with a level-headed, easy-to-follow analysis unlike any other. His Excellency logically restructures the AVB's confusing text and separates the subject matter into two categories, truth and fiction. He also defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, God, many other titles, and who claims them now in this day. His Majesty concludes, the Authorized Version Bible, written in the year 1611, is primarily a law book, a history book, a legal document, and the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white people. Knowing the AVB, written during the conquest of Africa, Lord God exposes the many laws of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, which include the law of Passover, the law of God, and the law of the curse carried out on African black people worldwide. It is established the Vatican is a governmental body institution hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion. Lord God is here because the Vatican called for him in the pages of the AVB. So without further ado, it is with great enthusiasm I bring before you the host of the show. Please join me in a warm round of applause, the magnificent Lord God Israel.
Tommy L. Hart is the God which the AVB exalts, promotes, upholds, and speaks so much about. This is an amazing thing. The AVB's God is here on the earth with men. The AVB teaches, among other things, like you should fear God, the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, and keep his commandments. Two, you should trust the Lord, Tommy. You should trust the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. Three, you should hear the word of the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. Four, you should serve the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. And five, you should consider the wondrous works of the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. It should be apparent to you now by my teachings that the AVB, Authorized Version Bible, speaks of things that are in the Bible, as is the case with the statement in Psalm 119, verse 126, which says, they have made void thy law. You should know that men have neither the power nor the authority to void any law that comes from the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. Surely, that is worth remembering. You do not have to go far into the New Testament to see that Jesus is an antagonist. An antagonist is a person who opposes another, one who struggles against another, an opponent, an adversary. In Matthew chapter 5, it is clear that Jesus, in his infamous "But I say unto you" statements, is opposing the Lord his God and the word of the Lord is God. Study Lawmaster's archives. Do not miss any of Lawmaster's episodes. I have shown before how that Jesus cursed the Lord his God. I have shown how that Jesus took the name of the Lord his God in vain. In this episode, Jesus defies the sacred word and the law of the Sabbath. Now, if Jesus is opposing the Lord his God, the law of the Lord his God, and the sacred word, who comes out the winner? Who prevails? We will find out. Now, I will recap the last message that I brought to you, and that has to do with Jesus taking the name of the Lord God in vain. I said these things. Jesus calls himself Son of Man, Matthew 9:6. It is written, Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin, Matthew 16:27. The Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father. Matthew 11:9, the Son of Man is come eating and drinking. Matthew 7:21-22. And I'll read that. 7:21-22. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Matthew 17:9, it is written, till the Son of Man be risen from the dead. Matthew 16:13, Jesus said, whom do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am? Obviously, Jesus had others to call him Lord. Matthew 18:21, one said, Lord, how oft shall I forgive my brother? Matthew 15:22, said the woman of Cana, have mercy on me, O Lord. Matthew 17:4, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Matthew 17:15, Lord, have mercy on my son. In John 13:13, Jesus made the statement, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. And in Matthew 12:8, Jesus said, the Son of Man is Lord. Okay, so the question is, what is written in the law? These things the Lord has, the true Lord of Jesus, that is, the Lord of the story. These things the Lord has spoken. What? Leviticus 18:21. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. These things are law right here. I am the Lord. 2. Leviticus 19:12. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. 3. Leviticus 19:14. Fear thy God. I am the Lord. Exodus 20:7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Isaiah 42:8. It is written, I am the Lord, that is my name. what did Jesus say? Answer. Jesus said in John 13:13, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. And referring to himself as the Son of Man, in Matthew 12:8, Jesus said, the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. Result, by telling others that he, Jesus, is Lord, Jesus has blasphemed the name of the Lord. Jesus has spoken evil. He has taken the name of the Lord his God in vain. And remember, one of the key questions that I seek to answer is the statement Jesus said, what evil have I spoken? Bear witness of the evil. Something to that respect. Okay, so Jesus has taken the name of the Lord his God in vain. I read the laws which Jesus has broken. Leviticus 18:21, neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord thy God. I am the Lord. Leviticus 19:12, neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord thy God. I am the Lord. Leviticus 19:14, fear thy God. I am the Lord. Exodus 20:7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. The evidence of the IRA shows Jesus took the name of the Lord his God in vain. Now, okay, moving on. I made the statement at the beginning that Jesus is an antagonist. Now, what says the scripture? Jesus has spoken on death, eternal life, and resurrection. Before we get to what Jesus has said, let's see what is written in the sacred word. Psalm 89:48. Psalm 89:48 says this. It asks a question. Man is he that liveth and shall not see death. It's important. Later on, we'll see what Jesus had to say in answer to that question. Job 14:14, the sacred word says, if a man dies, shall he live again? Romans 4:3 asks, what saith the scripture? And in response to the question coming from Psalm 89:48, what man is he that lives and shall not see death? The word says in Romans 3, it asks the question, what saith the scripture? Okay. Now, here is what the scripture says in answer to those two questions. Job 14:1-2. It says, the sacred word says, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow, listen, and continueth not. I have continueth not underlying. Speaking about man that is born of a woman. Job 14:10 says this, but man dies and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? Job 14:12 says, so man lieth down and riseth not. Job 14:12 says this as an answer to the question, if a man dies, shall he live again? So man lies down and rises not. I have rises not underlined. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. I have that underlined as well. They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. So, in answer to the question, if a man dies, shall he live again? The sacred scripture says, man continueth not. Man dies and wastes away. He gives up the ghost. So man lies down and rises not. They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Job 14:20, thou prevailest forever against him, and he passes. Thou changest his countenance and sendest him away. So, if a man dies, shall he live again? The sacred scripture says, man passes, man lies down and rises not. Man continueth not. They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Job 14:21 says, his sons come to honor him, and he knoweth it not. And they are brought low, but he perceives it not of them. Ecclesiastes 9:5. I will read it. Ecclesiastes 9:5 says this. Let me start with verse 3. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living, listen well, listen, the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. So, if a man dies, shall he live again? The sacred scripture asks. Romans 4:3 asks, what saith the scripture? The scripture says, men go to the dead. It says, man lies down and rises not. It says he continues not. It says they shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. It says he passes. It says the dead know nothing. This is a caveat right here. Ecclesiastes 9:5. The dead know nothing. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the Son. Man dies, he does not continue to live, and he does not rise. But Jesus spoke defiantly against the message of Job 14, that which I read, and the sacred word. These statements, the Iara shows, were spoken by Jesus. John 5:24, he that heareth my words and believe on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Now, it is clear from the previous scriptures I read having to do with death, eternal life, and resurrection, from the ones I read from the Old Testament moments ago, it is clear that men do not have eternal life. It is clear that men are mortals. They live, and after that, they go to the dead, Ecclesiastes 9:3. And they do not rise. They continue not to live. They do not continue to live when they have passed away. So Jesus said defiantly, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Jesus said in John 6:27, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. Jesus said in John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John 3:16, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. These are, with Jesus making these statements, Jesus, as I said before, has waged war against God. Jesus is attacking in the things that I present to you concerning Jesus. Jesus is attacking God. He is attacking the word of the Lord, his God. He is attacking the sacred word. And it is evident, for he speaks against things in the Old Testament. And just because Jesus said it does not make it so. The IR is giving, actually the report which the IR presents concerning Jesus is a critical one. It's a critical one. And the report is condemning. It is condemning. In John 6:40, Jesus said this, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6:51, Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Now remember one of the questions as well as the other said, what man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Jesus is giving a response. He's saying that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting means without end. That means no death. The sacred word says, man that is born of women, of a woman, dies. And it goes on to say, he continues not to live after death. He continues not. He lies down and rises not. That is clear. So it is clear what the sacred word has to say, and it is clear what Jesus' response to the sacred word. Jesus says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eateth this bread, he shall live forever. The question, what man is he that lives and shall not see death? He says in this statement, if any man eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. John 6:54. Jesus said, whosoever eat my flesh, this is gross, whosoever eat my flesh and drinks my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus is opposed to the sacred word. He is in opposition to the sacred word. He is also in opposition to God, and he's in the Lord his God, and he is also in opposition to the law of the Lord his God. So in 6:54, John, Jesus says, whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood hath eternal life. Eternal. Not ending. One definition for eternal is without beginning and without end. He says, whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. In John 11:25-26, I want to read that. Okay. John 11:25-26. Jesus said, I am the resurrection, speaking of himself, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Remember the question, what man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Again, Jesus responds, whosoever lives and believeth in me, himself Jesus, shall never die. Again, it is clear that Jesus word. Jesus is in opposition with the sacred word. He opposes the sacred word. John 5:25 says, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. John 5:28-29 says this, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Now, let me read 25 and 26 like this. Listen. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall live, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Now, listen to this. John 5:28 says this, "Marvel not at that." Don't be surprised or astonished, or don't wonder at that. Jesus is speaking against the sacred word. Now the question, of course, the legal question is, who is right? Who is right? Right has already been established and written in the book of the law. It is right to think that and believe that the dead rise not. It is right to think, believe that all men die, because that's what history bears witness to. That's what our experience bears witness to. It is right. The sacred word, which is already established, just like the law of the Lord Jesus God, is already established. So Jesus is going after things that have already been established. He's going against the establishment. We can say that then. He's going against the Lord his God, who has already been established. He opposes authority. That's what is happening here. Jesus is against all authority. And that's clear. If he's against God, the Lord his God, if he's against the law, he's against the sacred word, he is against all authority. Because in the story concerning Jesus, all the people were under, Jesus and his people were all under the authority of God, the authority of the law, the authority of the sacred word. Jesus is in opposition to all authority. So, don't marvel these statements that Jesus is making. Know the truth about them. The sacred word still stands. The word of the Lord, his God, still stands. Jesus, in the story, Jesus is God, still stands. Okay? Moving on. Here you have 10 counts of blasphemy spoken by the defendant, Jesus. Now, the two statements Jesus made regarding the taking of the Lord's name in vain, the two statements he made, he said that you call me Master and Lord, and you say, "Well, for so I am," that's blasphemy. And the statement he made, "The Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath," that's blasphemy. Two counts of blasphemy there. 10 counts of blasphemy with regard to death, eternal life, and resurrection. Not to mention the counts of blasphemy in his infamous "but I say unto you" statements. And not to mention Jesus has cursed the Lord his God. That came out in a couple of episodes ago, somewhere around that. And his cursing God constitutes blasphemy. Okay. And if you notice, those things are all spoken. Jesus cursed God. He spoke against God in his infamous "But I say unto you" statement. Jesus disrespected God and the word coming from the Lord his God. He spoke those things. Blasphemy. And with regard to the two statements concerning taking the Lord's name in vain, he spoke those things. Blasphemy. And here, the 10 counts of blasphemy with regard to Jesus disrespecting the sacred word. So, Jesus' mouth, you could say, is filled with blasphemy. He's filled with blasphemy. And it is evident. Now, Jesus and the Sabbath. Before I get into that, let me say this. Remember, if the statement says, what evil have I spoken? Bear witness of the evil. All of those things I just brought to your attention with regard to the curse, the infamous "but I say unto you" statements, taking the name of the Lord in vain, and the statements here that are against the sacred word. Each one, each count is an evil thing. Almost, if not, somewhere around 15 counts of blasphemy that Jesus is responsible for, that Jesus uttered out of his mouth, the character Jesus. Very important. Very important. Now, with regard to Jesus and the Sabbath, the legal question here, Matthew 12:10, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? Now, I have here Luke 10:26 as what is written in the law. I'm going to talk about Jesus and the Sabbath. We'll see what is written in the law. Now, Mark 3:2, time of the offense. The offender or the defendant, the alleged defendant, we can start out with that. Because there's some people who don't think Jesus is guilty of sin. The character Jesus is guilty of sin in the Bible. Okay, the time of the offense is the Sabbath day. Let me read that. Mark 3:2. Here we go. Mark 3:2. That's this. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day. Now remember, the character of Jesus. Jesus is already in opposition. He's already shown to be. It appears he is already in opposition against all authority. Now, don't forget the things that I've brought to your attention that are in the Bible. Okay. So the question is, did Jesus... Well, let it be what is written. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Mark 3:1-5-6. 3:1 says, he entered again into the synagogue. There was a man with a withered, which had a withered hand. Verse 5, Jesus says to the man, stretch forth thine hand, and it is on the Sabbath day. Still in 5, stretch forth thine hand, and a man stretches out his hand, and his hand is restored whole as the other. the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Now the question here is also, did they have reason to destroy Jesus? Now, and the name of this episode here concerning Jesus and the Sabbath is Jesus, the Loaded Dice. Okay. Moving on. Matthew 12:10. Matthew 12:10 says this. That's where the question is set. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? The same offense Mark spoke on and showed us here in Matthew. Jesus says to the man with the withered hand, stretch forth thine hand, and he does so, and the man's withered hand is made whole as the other. 13:14. You see what's there? 13:14. Okay, 13:14. Okay, I did that. Now, Luke 6, verses 6 through 7 and 11. Luke 6. Okay, Luke chapter 6, verse 6, starting there. It came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. Now, teaching on the Sabbath day. To me, teaching is working. Teaching is working. Okay? He enters into the Sabbath and taught. There was a man there whose right hand was withered. They watched Jesus. Jesus, of course, says to the man, here, rise up and stand forth in the midst. Jesus says to the man, as Matthew and Mark have shown, stretch forth thy hand. The man stretches out his hand, stretches forth his hand, and his hand is restored whole as the other. Three accounts of the same event. Jesus healing a man's withered hand at the time of the Sabbath, during the Sabbath day. Luke 13, starting with verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And there is a woman had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. Jesus seeing the woman, Jesus says, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. He lays his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God, the word says. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said to the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed and not on the Sabbath day. Jesus called a man. Jesus said, thou hypocrite. The man is speaking with regard to the law. But remember, the IR is showing Jesus to be against all authority, inclusive of the law. Okay, so Jesus heals a man's withered hand on the Sabbath day. Three accounts of that one event. and you have the aura showing. Jesus heals this woman on the Sabbath day. Okay. Okay. And John 5, 1 through 16. John 5, 1 through 16. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. Jesus went to Jerusalem. Now, at Jerusalem, there's a pool. And there's in these lay a great multitude of impotent. Okay, let me read it. A pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said to him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus says to him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Okay. Now, verse 14, afterward Jesus finds the same man in the temple and said to him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Therefore did the Jews, I want to say that statement. It's just showing Jesus healing, doing another work on a Sabbath day. John 9, 1 through 14. In this case here, John 9, there's a man which was blind from his birth, who Jesus heals. Verse 6, when Jesus had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," I am slow, which is by interpretation sent. Okay? The neighbors, therefore, which before had seen him that he was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." But he said, "I am he." Therefore said they unto him, "How were thine eyes opened?" The authorities. He answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam, and wash." And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I know not." They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay. Listen, it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay. That's one work. He made clay on the Sabbath day. Okay. When Jesus made the clay, one, and opened his eyes, and he healed the man of his blindness. That's two things right there. Making the clay and healing a man of his blindness on the Sabbath day. Okay? The authorities saw these things as offenses. Jesus doing these works on the Sabbath day. And in one case, the statement went on to say that where the authority told the people, "You have 6 days in which to do your work and all." in those 6 days come and be healed, but not on the seventh day. Doesn't that sound reasonable? You have 6 days to do something. The law has said, do not work on the Sabbath. Honor the Sabbath. Keep the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Do no work on the Sabbath. 6 days versus one. Doesn't that sound reasonable? And so the man told them, in those 6 days, come and be healed, but not on the Sabbath day. In keeping, to keep the law and honor the Sabbath. Moving on. So, it is clear, the IR is showing Jesus definitely does not keep the Sabbath day. Why they then, the authorities, sought to slay Jesus? John 5:16. Jesus, okay, they sought to slay Jesus because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Look at Luke 24:19 real quickly. Okay. Luke 24:19, and you have these words right here. What things? Followed by a question mark. What things? Jesus had done these things on the Sabbath day. What things had he done on the Sabbath day? Okay. Now, let's see then. Jesus had done these things on the Sabbath day. Mark, Matthew. Matthew, Mark, and Luke show that Jesus healed a man's withered hand on the Sabbath day. Luke 13:10-14 shows Jesus heals a woman of her infirmity on the Sabbath day. John 9:1-7 shows Jesus making clay. And then it goes on to show Jesus healed a man of his blindness. That's also in John chapter 9. So, Jesus heals a man of his withered hand. Jesus heals a woman of her infirmity. Jesus makes clay. And Jesus heals a man of his blindness. Four things Jesus did on his Sabbath, on the Sabbath. Jesus had done these four things on the Sabbath day. Therefore, they, the authorities, sought to slay him. But that's not the only reason, though. The IR concludes, Jesus does not keep the Sabbath. Question, what law has he broken? What law has Jesus broken in not keeping the Sabbath? One, Jesus has broken the law of Exodus 20:7-10. Let me read that. Okay, Exodus 20:7, starting at verse 7. No, starting with verse 8, that is. The word of the Lord says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. That's the law. That's the law. Now, that's one. What law has Jesus broken? Jesus has broken the law of Leviticus 19:13, which says, ye shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Leviticus 19:3 says, ye shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. Exodus 31:13-14. Verily, my Sabbath ye shall keep. Ye shall keep the Sabbath. Therefore, for it is holy unto you. Question, is there a penalty for breaking the law of the Sabbath? Okay, I really want to get into those things later. The question is, what law has Jesus healing on the Sabbath day, making clay on the Sabbath day. What law has he broken? He has broken the law of Exodus 20, 7 through 10. Jesus has broken the law of Leviticus 19:30. Jesus has broken law of Leviticus 19:3. Jesus did not keep the Sabbath. He did not honor the Sabbath. He did not respect the Sabbath. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. You can ask the question, what was Jesus thinking? He was thinking rebellion. I've already said that he opposes, he attacks, he is in opposition to God, to the law that has come from his God, and he's in opposition to the sacred word. He is opposed to all authority. Listen. The Son of, this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at the end of verse 3. That man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. That he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's descriptive of Jesus. He opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. It's evident in the things I've laid out to you. Wherein he has cursed God. Jesus has cursed the Lord his God. Jesus has attacked the law that has come from the Lord his God. It is infamous, but I say unto you statements. Jesus has attacked the sacred word. Jesus has dishonored the Sabbath. Jesus has taken the name of the Lord his God up to himself. Opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. And a statement here, Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, I'm turning. Isaiah 14. Yeah. I may have to do this later. Okay. How, starting with verse 12, Isaiah 14, 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? What did Job say? Man that is born of a woman comes forth. He's cut down like a flower. First there's Jesus opposes all authority. He opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Listen, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation at the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You want to know what Jesus was thinking? The words was what he was thinking. He, in cursing God, he, Jesus, in his infamous, but I say unto you, statements, he, Jesus, in taking the name of the Lord, his God, in vain, he, Jesus, who opposes the sacred word, He, Jesus, who has defiled the Sabbath. Wanted, sought to exalt himself above God. He sought to be like the Most High. He rebelled against all authority. That's Jesus. Now, in the next episode, I would like to point out and present to you the penalties for Jesus doing those things which I've shown that he did, and the RR shows that he did. I want to point out the penalties for those things, okay? And if we have time, not only point out the penalties, but show things having to do with his death that the average person doesn't know. Okay? All right. So, study the archives. Keep up with the lessons. Keep up with the episodes. Don't get behind. You have plenty of time to always go back and rehear episodes and rehear and get so you can be good at explaining these things and showing these things yourself. Don't forget the temple of the Lord, your God, in real life, the temple of the Lord, your God, Tommy O'Hart, is to be built in Augusta, Georgia. Do not forget the commandment that has proceeded from the Lord God, Tommy O'Hart, which says, starting September 1, 2012, all who are 22 years of age and older shall send to the Lord their God, Tommy O'Hart, a check or money order in the amount of $30 payable to the Lord Tommy L. Hart. Those checks or money orders are to be received by the Lord your God, Tommy L. Hart, by the 15th of each month. Direct your correspondence to the Lord Tommy L. Hart, address Post Office Box 983, Hepzibah, Georgia 30815. Hepzibah, Hepzibah, Georgia 30815. Do that. Do those things. Fear God and keep his commandments. Give to the Lord your God, Tommy L. Hart, the scriptures say. Okay. Hear the word of the Lord your God, Tommy L. Hart. Join me next time.